In the light of the Planned Parenthood scandal, you know, I've got some serious questions for the church and a whole lot more.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm right now speaking at a pastor's conference, a gathering of different leaders. Spoke this morning, and when I walked into the room, a respected leader came up to me, thanked me for being a voice. Then a young leader came up to me and thanked me for being a voice. It is my joy, my exquisite delight in the Lord to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, to help articulate the burdens that you may feel, to give an outlet to what would otherwise be frustration, hopefully to give a positive message of truth and life. And the phone lines are open, so you can add your voices in as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Where am I right now? Destin, Florida. Flew into Fort Walton last night, and Destin is a few-minute ride from where I'm staying. But phone lines are the same. Same number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you an honest question? If you voted for President Obama, knowing that he was a strong pro-abortion president, or maybe you didn't know, if you voted for him and now you see the way his administration is standing with Planned Parenthood, his press secretary, Josh Earnest, has defended Planned Parenthood, said, yeah, his exact quote, "I did read the news reports indicating that the policies that are followed by Planned Parenthood are entirely consistent with the strictest ethical guidelines that have been established in the healthcare industry." Boy, I mean, almost all of that is so disputable, so bogus. Ethics, what kind of ethics are there in taking the lives of babies in the womb, innocent lives in the womb? What kind of ethics? And you know how many Planned Parenthood clinics have been in violation of health codes and things like that? And then the merchandising and fetal baby parts. And but when you remember that President Obama said, "Thank you, Planned Parenthood, God bless you," do you feel bad about voting for him? I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on anybody. I'm not trying to say I told you so. I voted for people and regretted it myself, okay? But do you recognize now why we were telling you that if elected, he would be the most radical pro-abortion president and the most radical gay activist president? And I prayed and hoped that that would not be the case, but sadly, it is. Do you understand why so many people have been so grieved over Planned Parenthood? According to reports, getting $528 million from the federal government? How can that possibly over $500 million to fund what they're doing? Extraordinary. Very, very dark. But it leads me to a larger question. All of you who are rightly outraged over the recent videos detailing the horrific practices of Planned Parenthood, not just in the taking of the baby's life, we knew that, but after the taking of the baby's life, the merchandising, the trafficking in baby parts, what has the church done all these years? How many of us have actually been involved in pro-life work? If you've been in pro-life work, if you've been involved in a pregnancy crisis center, if you've been involved in standing in front of an abortion clinic and handing out tracts or offering to help women with adoption or telling them there's a better way, you know how lonely it's been for you. You know how little backing there is for it. Maybe we should be looking inward more. And yes, President Obama's been a terrible pro-abortion president in that respect. Yes, Planned Parenthood is horrific in so much of what it does. But how about us, the believers? What have we done? If you've been involved in pro-life work, pick up the phone and call me, 866-34-TRUTH. Tell me if it's been lonely. Tell me how much support you've gotten from the local church. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What would you expect for intact tissue? What sort of compensation? What sort of...
Well, why don't you start by telling me what you used to pay? I'm used to low things from...
If you lowball, I'll act pleasantly surprised, and you'll know it's a lowball.
Okay.
What I want to know is what would work for you. Don't lowball it.
Okay.
Tell me what you really...
$75 a specimen.
Oh, that's way too low. So I'd like to start at around 100.
Okay. Now this is for tissue that you actually take, not just the tissue that the person volunteered that you can't find anything. Right?
Exactly.
Tissue that we actually take. Negotiating prices, that is Planned Parenthood Senior Executive Mary Gatter. The whole video, it goes from shocking to more shocking to the jokes. In fact, let's grab clip number two, joking about profits. Remember, if the tissue is being donated, as Planned Parenthood says, because it's illegal to sell it for profit, fetal tissue, just tissue. That baby's liver, just tissue. You know, the baby parts, just tissue, because that's just tissue in there. So let's say that it's their claim that they are simply donating the tissue, that the women have made a difficult choice and said, okay, I'm going to donate the remains of my child to medical research to help save other lives, and I'm sure it makes some women feel better and they're struggling over their choice. I'm not demeaning the struggle they've gone through. It's simply unjust, unrighteous, unethical, destroying a baby's life in the womb, period. It's that simple. In any case, if you are simply paying for shipping, as Planned Parenthood said, or covering your costs, why are you negotiating prices? Why are you negotiating prices? We ship stuff from my ministry office day and night, okay? We don't negotiate with UPS or FedEx or the post office. Okay, what kind of deal can you give us? No, there are fees, there are costs. That's what it costs to ship. This is what it costs to ship faster. This is what it costs to ship slower. This is what it costs to ship by weight. This is what it costs to ship overseas. You don't have to negotiate. Why are they negotiating? Clip number two.
I want a Lamborghini.
Don't we all, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I want a Lamborghini. You know, make profits here, get a Lamborghini. They're joking about these things. An utter outrage. Yes, they should be investigated. Yes, they should be defunded. Yes, they should be shut down. So by the end, this senior executive, Planned Parenthood, suggests $100 per specimen is not enough, says, all right, let me just figure out what others are getting. And if this is in the ballpark, then it's fine. If it's still low, then we can bump it up. I want a Lamborghini. Okay. You don't get a Lamborghini by paying a shipping cost. If I bring in $100,000 and that $100,000 pays for 100,000 books to be shipped out at $1 a book, then the money goes to pay the shipping, and you don't make any money on it, right? If someone gives you $50 and says, okay, I need this shipped overseas, and there's an overnight shipping thing, you got to pay $50 to get this item shipped over, you give me the $50, I give you the $50, you go to the post office, you pay the money, you're not making profit on that, you don't get a Lamborghini. You say, but $100, that doesn't seem that much. How many babies do they abort in an abortion clinic every week at a good-sized one? How many babies are aborted? So you get all the profit of that pouring in. And don't think for one moment that it is not pushed to have more and more abortions to make more and more money. Plenty of people used to work at these clinics that have come clean, that have gotten right with God, that are following Jesus now, will testify to that. And the doctors will testify to the greed. You're talking about human beings here. Come on. So how many women now will say that they want to donate the, quote, tissue from the baby their child's part. You certainly just want to call it tissue because, obviously, if you're watching on an ultrasound, Carly Fiorina was talking about that. Republican presidential candidate Carly Fiorina was saying, challenge, let the media challenge Hillary Clinton. Let's challenge her on her abortion views. Come on, perfect opportunity to do it. She's radical pro-abortion, as our president is. So Carly Fiorina said, if you're on ultrasound, the doctor's not saying that, look at this tissue. He's saying, no, look, you can see the heart here. Okay, look, you can see the hands here. Look, you see, that's a baby. That's your child. Okay, but let's just say, theoretically, let's say it's 10 a day. Let's say we want to donate tissue. And let's say from a baby, just purely theoretical, throwing this out, it's $100 a specimen, and you get three different specimens from a baby, all right? So that's 10 a day times 300, that's 3,000, and in a week, if it was 7 days, right, that's $21,000. And then times 50, was that $1 million? Did I do the math right? You can check. Now, I don't know how it actually breaks down. I don't know how it actually breaks down, but I will say this, okay? This is obviously a way to make more money, and that's why she jokes about wanting to get a Lamborghini with the profits. Utterly outrageous, despicable. Yes, live in such a way so that if every one of your meetings with someone for lunch, for dinner, if every one of your phone conversations was recorded, that you'd have nothing to be ashamed of. Oh, I don't mean when you're, you know, talking silly with your kids or the grandkids. Hey, poopy boy, it's grandpa. You know, I don't, yeah, that could seem a little silly to some people. You got a little baby, you're talking a certain way, or husband and wife sharing, you know, their hearts intimately with each other. I'm just talking about every general meeting conversation you have. You know what it should be? Someone's tracking my email. The government could track my email. They could track it. They shouldn't be able to find anything on me. There shouldn't be anything like, wow, we got secrets, because you live clean. You live clean. So it is good that this is all getting exposed. Planned Parenthood deserves it and more. Someone corrected me and said, Margaret Sanger never said that colored people were weeds. Oh, she actually did. The lower classes, including blacks, human weeds, she referred to them as. The poor and these others. They reproduce, and they're human weeds, and the best thing to do is cut their numbers down. We even talked about it. I quoted it, was it yesterday? From her specific project, where she said, because they're religious, the colored people are religious, we need to hire several black ministers, colored ministers that she called them. We need to hire them, and then they will get the colored population to have more and more abortions to cut down on their numbers. Yes, that's part of her plan. It's a written plan, known plan, quoted plan. Oh, Margaret Sanger. Find out the truth about Margaret Sanger. Find out how much she believed in eugenics. This is the same philosophy that fed Nazi Germany, the same mentality that the superiority of the Aryan people and the other races should be wiped out. Jews, just like weeds. Find out what fueled the fire, the radical nature of what fueled the fire of Planned Parenthood. Read George Grant's books, his exposés of Margaret Sanger, Killer Angel, and her radical communist roots. Well documented. Well documented. Read George Grant's expose of Planned Parenthood. So these things are outrageous, friends. And it's good they're being exposed. But I may write about this tonight. I am struck, though, by with all the outrage we have in the church, how little most of us have done to ever deal with this. How little most of us have done to combat this. How little most of us have done to speak out against this. You say, I'm not the kind of person that can stand in front of an abortion clinic. Well, can you pray for those who do? Can you support those who do? I don't know. I mean, I think that's too confrontational. I like the pregnancy crisis center where someone goes there finding out alternatives and adoption. Okay, great. Are you involved with one of those? Pastors, leaders, churches, how much of your budget is given to pro-life work, to saving the lives of the unborn? Did you ever preach about it? And last year, have you preached a message about abortion, and even to minister to congregational members who've had abortions in the past and still are wounded over it? I think we need to look inward. I think we need to recognize, to paraphrase Francis Schaeffer, that abortion clinics in each of our cities should have signs up basically saying open by the permission of the church. Something for us to really think about. Do you agree with me? Do you differ? 866-34-TRUTH. And Andy, stay right there. I want to talk to you on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Margaret Sanger and her anchor made Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood, man, they're in hoods. They might be handing out rubbers in the suburbs, but they prefer abortions on portions of my
mind. Yeah, a question. It's been raised recently. We've heard with some of the killings of black men and women, especially black men in inner city, different locations by police and others, and where there's been a real concern that unjust force was used and an unarmed person who was not posing any threat was killed, shot in the back in one case, things like that. So we've heard this over and again, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Don't they matter in the womb? Don't they matter in the womb? If I'm correct, and Matt, you can confirm this for me, in New York City right now, more black babies are aborted than born every year. More black babies aborted than born. Don't black lives matter? Don't we need to raise our voices against this massive outrage? Don't we need to stand together shoulder to shoulder? And that would mean black church leaders who historically have been Democratic, those who have, renouncing their party for their pro-abortion platform and said, if you don't change that, we're out. We'll either help start a third party or join the Republicans or something else. Black Lives Matter, starting in the womb. Starting in the womb. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Duquesne, Utah. Andy, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown.
You're very welcome.
I am just rejoicing after this weekend, and I have to thank you because I was introduced to your ministry about 2.5 years ago when I came to Christ, and you've been such a solid voice for truth, and I just want to thank you so much. And I want to tell you that I bought your book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? About a year ago. My sister has been gay for a few years, my twin sister. And both of us, we grew up in a Christian church, in a Baptist church, and we were both raised, you know, with godly morals and values. But then once we went to college, all of that was sort of tossed to the wind. It was never anything that impressed upon us more than like an intellectual acknowledgement of, you know, Jesus Christ. We never pursued a personal relationship with him. And so neither of us were saved. And I got saved about 2.5 years ago. And then I bought your book hoping to get some answers because I still didn't know if she could be gay and Christian. I didn't know. And I read it and it, first of all, thank you so much for the love that you have for that community. It's easy to be critical of them if you don't know anyone personally, but like, this is my twin sister and I longed for her to know Christ in the way that I did. And I just appreciate so much, your tone when talking with these people, the way that you love them, even when you're presenting the truth before them. And I read your book and I was excited about it because not only did it present the truth in a way that that was clearly God's word, but in a way that was not offensive or condemning to them. And I felt more empowered to talk to her about it. And long story short, that opportunity didn't ever present itself, really. Her and I live in Utah, and she lives in Minnesota. And we rarely saw each other. We rarely even talked to each other. And last Sunday, I guess two Sundays ago, July 12th, she sent me a text message asking about some wedding dates because she was going to marry her fiance this fall, and she was making sure some dates were okay for me to be able to come. And I had been dreading this. I knew it was coming because she had been engaged for a few months. And I didn't know how to answer her. I knew I could not come and support her because God does not see it as a marriage. And I knew it was now or never, so to speak, to like mm-hmm. tell her about the gospel. And so me and other people in my life, other Christians, we began praying for her that day. And I've been praying for her for months. And God had laid a special burden on my heart for her. And so I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And Wednesday night, she called me. And I knew I hadn't replied to her text message. And so I knew she was calling me to find out when I could come to the wedding. And I talked to her, and I told her exactly what I believed. And I told her that despite the fact that I love her with all my heart, I love Jesus more. Mm. And I was going to have to hold on to his love. And I could not go to something that he hated. And I was afraid, Dr. Brown, because I didn't want to lose my sister or to have her reject me and just, you know, never talk to me again. But the most amazing thing happened, and she started asking more questions. And it was because of your book that I was able to answer them. And I have no idea how I even recalled half the answers, you know, because it was a while ago when I had read your book. But God, the Holy Spirit led me, and I knew exactly how to answer each question. And I prayed with her at the end of the phone conversation. And I hung up the phone, and my husband and I, we lifted her up in prayer for quite a few hours after we got done talking to her. And the next morning, we were up early, and we were praying. We usually get up early and have devotions in the morning, and we were praying. And as we were praying, my phone rings. But it's in the other room. So I just let it ring. And then we ended the prayer, and I went in the room and I got my phone, and it was my sister. And this is at like 7 o'clock in the morning, our time. So it was even still only 8 o'clock her time. And I picked up the phone and I called her, and she said that the Holy Spirit had talked to her when she had gone over some passages that you had pointed out in your book that I referenced and showed to her. And she knew now that her lifestyle was sin.
Wow.
She was convicted of it. Oh, and my. She has given her life to Christ. And
she was
on the phone with me, and she's like, Andy, I'm scared. I don't know what to do because all of my friends are gay. I'm living with my girlfriend. I don't know what to do. Can you come here and help me and just counsel me? And so I got on a plane.
All right, stay right there. Friends, keep listening. If you're about to lose us on the radio, go to askdrbrown.org and just click on your cell phone, your computer, listen live. What a testimony. What an amazing testimony. Lord, take hold of Andy's sister and make her 100% whole in you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire. I'm sitting here in Destin, Florida, as we're broadcasting live in the midst of a pastor's conference and a youth conference, and just deeply moved by this extraordinary story we've just heard from Andy in Utah about her twin sister being saved. And so, Andy, just continue. I wanted you to talk right up to the break we had there. So
yeah.
This is remarkable. Not only has she come out as lesbian, but she's been engaged for a few years and is, quote, about to get married. So you're talking deeply involved. Did you sense that there had been some uncertainty under the surface for a while, or was it simply that the Holy Spirit got hold of her after all these months of prayer?
Well, I went to visit my, because I'm sort of off in Utah by myself with my husband and our children. So the rest of my family is back in Minnesota. And about a month ago, about a month and a half ago, I guess, I went up to Minnesota and visited with all of my family, and she was there. And I had gone into that trip knowing that I might have a chance to speak with her. And so I prayed and I prepared as much as I could spiritually for that. And I went in there, and her and I did get a chance to talk, and I shared my testimony with her and her girlfriend, who was standing right there, or fiance, I should say, ex-fiance now, but but they were both standing there, and as I was explaining this experience and the way that God has transformed my life, I could see that, and from the things that she asked me and the things that she said, like, she longed for that. I could sense that there was a hunger there for God, but I don't think she knew exactly how to go about finding God. And she was still held captive in this lifestyle that she had lived for so long. And I didn't even address her homosexuality specifically at that time.
The issue is her relationship with God.
Exactly. And I told her that, you know, when we come to God, we can't hold on to these things that have been our identity. I didn't say her homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And another sister of mine was standing there too, so I was speaking to her as well. And I told her, it's just about Jesus, and he will give you a new heart, and he will give you a new mind, and he will give you new desires and new things that you love. And I kind of left it at that. And so when I had gotten the text of her wanting to set a wedding date, I guess I felt just devastated, just really crushed in my spirit. And I prayed to God. I said, God, I don't want to have to answer this question right now. I don't feel prepared to deal with this right now. And so when she had told me on Wednesday night that she was questioning it, you know, there was like a glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
And I just reached up in prayer. We prayed for hours and the next morning, and when she called me the next day, it was like the greatest answer to prayer I have ever seen happen in my life. And I was rejoicing, and you know, I flew up there to be with her over the weekend, and all I could do was pray that this wasn't just something that was a work of the flesh, that it was like a genuine work of the Spirit.
All right, so we just got the last part of this to hear from Andy. Stay right there, and let's keep praying for her sister, for God to really work, and for God to use her sister to win many of her former friends.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. We're talking to Andy in Duquesne, Utah, about the amazing conversion of her sister, who was about to, quote, marry her lesbian partner. All right, so Andy, you flew out immediately with real mm-hmm. sisterly love, flew out immediately to spend time with her. What did you find when you were together?
I found the Holy Spirit just pouring himself down upon her, and she was searching the scriptures. She was talking with her ex-fiancé about her experience and the truth, and I, you know, I was worried going into it that she wouldn't see, I guess, you know, like they're living together. Obviously, there's temptation there. All of her friends, they're gay. There's temptation that would be all around her. And I was afraid that I would go in there and find that those things she didn't really want to give up or put to an end. But I found the opposite. I sat there as she was telling me, like, her plan and what God is telling her to do. And she was talking about how excited she was to speak with those in her life who are gay, you know, those people that, whether they're looking for God or not, those people that are just finding the lifestyle to be empty, you know, who are struggling in their lives and whoever. She was just, I talked to her actually yesterday, and she's just on fire. She's like, Andy, I can't put the Bible down. I'm reading it and I can't stop. And all I want to do is learn who this God is and who Jesus is and be able to talk to people about it. And I want to talk to them now, but I feel like I don't know anything about the Bible. So I want to just read it and discover and learn. And I'm just, you know, as she's telling me this, I can't help but rejoice and think, my word, like, God is going to use her, and he is going to use this testimony. And I just want to thank you, Dr. Brown, because there are few voices in the Christian world that can walk that line between love and, you know, love with lies and love with truth. Like, there is love in sharing the truth of the gospel, even if it's not necessarily what they want to hear. Like, that is what is going to set them free. And I just thank you for your book. I thank you for not slandering the gay community and just reaching out to them in love, because it really encouraged me to do the same with her. And I, like, even now, I'm so emotional about it. I can't even believe that this great God would take something that seems so hopeless and just make the impossible happen. And I'm praising him, and I just want you to know that what you are doing is making a difference in a profound way. And I want all your listeners to know that if they have friends or family, you know, twin sisters, whoever, who are struggling with homosexuality, that is not what God intended. He wants us to be free, and he can free the captive. He can do it. And even when it seems hopeless, prayer goes a long, long way, and he will find those lost souls.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I'm emotional now listening because of God's grace in your sister's life. And obviously you're there for her, and I'm sure you'll keep up the prayer. You know, friends that are listening, notice they're praying for hours. They're praying for months. Sometimes we just pray a little prayer and expect great results, but there are many things, just like carrying a baby and birthing a baby. There's that effort involved, and persevering in prayer, showing her that true love as a sister, and now there to help her be discipled. She may be burning super bright for days and then hit a wall and question, mm-hmm. and that's when you're there all the more. I'm sure that's when the burden will hit you to pray all the more. But the fact she knows she can go to you at any time and that you're in regular contact is so important. Listen, any materials we have that will help you or that will help your sister, you just shoot us a note. It'd be our joy to donate them, just to be a blessing, to help. And if you have the opportunity, just a few weeks from now or even a few months from now, shoot us a note or give us a call just with an update on her. How old are you and your sister?
Oh, we're 29.
29.
Almost 30.
And how long ago did you really surrender to the Lord?
It was in January of 2013.
Wow, tremendous.
So about 2.5 years ago.
Okay, I remember you'd said that at the beginning. I just want to make sure I had that right. All right, let's just pray once more for your sister. Lord, keep her strong. You who started the good work in her, bring it to completion. And Lord, where she has open doors with her friends, use her to win them. Where she needs to make a change in her environment for her own well-being, may she just know it. May Andy have real sensitivity to pray. She and her husband may have real sensitivity. They have sensitivity to pray and stand with her. Plant your sister in a healthy place with other believers that she can thrive and that she can be used to touch many lives. We thank you for your amazing grace and salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for this call.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless.
You know, it's just so amazing to see God change lives. It's just so wonderful when the testimony is so real and you can feel the depth of love behind it. I remember in 1976 that my wife Nancy and I had the joy of leading her sister to the Lord, her older sister. Now, her sister, in turn, has been used to pray for me at many key times over the years. We've been able to be a blessing one to another in the family. But I remember she got wonderfully, radically saved. And Nancy and I were scheduled to go away for a week. And I remember we were thinking, well, when we get back, is she going to be okay? I mean, she was so new and just newly so on fire and so excited, wanted to tell her unsaved friends about Jesus. And you see him burning so bright, you think, you're going to be okay. We came back a week later, and we were out of touch for the week, and we came back, and yeah, doing great. And that was a long time ago. That was almost 40 years ago. Still doing great today. Boy, oh boy. Friends, be encouraged right now. I just feel this fresh faith rising in many of your hearts to pray for a loved one that you kind of gave up on. Atheist, alcoholic, converted to another religion, fallen into sexual sin, cut off the family, cut you off. Maybe God just prompted you. Prayer makes the difference. Prayer makes the difference. Prayer touches heaven. You say, why doesn't God just do it? Hey, he doesn't preach the gospel on his own without us. In other words, he doesn't just speak out of the sky and drop tracts out of the sky or put websites up, internet websites. No, he works through us, right? He doesn't just feed the poor miraculously and rain the bread down from heaven or the food from heaven. He does it through us. Well, same thing. Prayer is our partnership with him, our sacred cooperation with him. And that's why those praying for an end to abortion, that's why those praying for an end to abortion on demand and for compassionate answers for the mothers struggling and the fathers struggling and compassionate solutions for babies that will not be able to be raised by their biological mother or father. That's why we need to be believing that God will work. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to East Orange, New Jersey. Jackie, thanks so much for holding.
Thank you. Yes, Dr. Brown, what I wanted to say is, indirectly, I believe that the church bears some of the blame for this Planned Parenthood debacle, and that's because many times, and sometimes discussing political things, sometimes people who vote a certain way, they don't want to hear that their political party stands for what is called reproductive freedom. They don't want to say anything and don't want to discuss that. But, you know, the types of votes, when you vote a certain way, there will be a certain outcome in society, and that's a fact. And I just believe that the Church of Jesus Christ has to stand firm. They may have to, people as individuals may have to face uncomfortable truths about some of the political and social ideas that they hold dearly, but we need to be educated about Planned Parenthood and Dr. Sanger and, you know, what she was really about, because we have to be educated. We can't keep our heads in the sand and be ignorant about it, and if it means even repent for believing or thinking a certain way, so do it, because babies' lives depend on us, the people of God.
Yes, absolutely true. You're articulate and clear, 100%. And look, the Republican Party is flawed. The Democratic Party is flawed. The independents are flawed. The libertarians are flawed. The answer's in the gospel. Now, I could not vote for certain candidates because they're pro-abortion. Could not possibly vote for them. And no, I could not vote for a president who is not going to be strong pro-life president. But my hope is not on the political party. The church must bring about the change and then let these other parties help. You're exactly right. And where we need to repent, let's repent. Thank you.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I was just so moved by that earlier call from Andy. Appreciate Jackie's call as well. Just so moved by that earlier call. You just kind of want to stop and pray and worship God for a while. But on we go with radio. And this is, this next call is quite relevant as well. We'll go to Richmond, Virginia. Denise, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for your program. Really appreciate the way that you've spoken with compassion to the homosexual community. My question has to do with the fact that I do have a younger sister in the homosexual lifestyle. She does not want it to be confined in that way. This is one of the things I'm finding. They do not want to be labeled, categorized. It's wanting this freedom to operate along a spectrum almost. And so my concern, though, about her, two things. How do I enter into that prevailing prayer that lady shared about? I guess I'm one of those, you know, you throw up a prayer here and there, you make a prayer request in a prayer meeting, but being instructed in how to prevail in prayer until you sense the Lord's release and so on, just feeling that some more instruction could be given, you know, to the general body to know how to do that. She believes she's a Christian. She's found affirmation in some congregations where she's been, mainly Unitarian-type congregations.
Yeah, of course. And they'd be very liberal and downplay the authority of Scripture. Scripture would be much more, on a secondary level to a scriptural authority. Scripture to them would be on a much lower level than just kind of human opinion and social trends and, you know, the law of love, this ambiguous law of love. But one thing you could do, of course, is see if she'd be willing to read my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Say, boy, this is really interesting. It has a lot of people talking kind of similar things you believe. And I, the very first chapter, I take people into the heart of someone that would say they're a gay Christian. So it's written in that sense very sympathetically. But you might ask her if she'd read it. She'll find the tone very non-offensive. And perhaps...
I think for this group that she seems to be a part of and the community that she seems to have tapped into, anything that even broaches traditional Christian perspective,
met
with offense and that sort of a thing. Yeah, she
got it.
With a long stick. Yeah, the Lord has recently restored our relationship, so I can at least speak with her sister.
No. That's Denise. You're using wisdom there. There's a time and place for everything. And obviously, when she says she's a Christian, it has nothing to do with being a New Testament Christian. It's a cultural Christian and embracing certain of the values of Jesus. There's a book by Charles Finney called Prevailing Prayer. It's actually aspects. It's taken from different messages of his and his life. You might want to get that. Charles Finney, Prevailing Prayer. But the few tips that I could give, one is you want to be praying just in general in your own life on a consistent basis. In other words, you want to have something to build on. So you're praying on a consistent basis. Try to have a set time or times where you spend quality time with the Lord and really pour your heart out. And then as you begin to pray for your sister, you want to make it a regular thing. So there's the everyday principle. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep asking until the breakthrough comes. But then there are those times where you just feel, I need to stay here longer. because I'm just not satisfied that I've gotten as far as I want to get in prayer. It's something that has to be kind of learned and discerned and felt, but it's the sense of I've got to go deeper. And you may not see a breakthrough. In other words, you may do that and every day feel this burden to pray longer, or once a month just get overwhelmed and you spend a few hours just crying out and praying. But then you feel done. It's like, okay, I can move on. That's the only way I can describe it, you know, from the outside, that it's this sense of, okay, mission accomplished. Maybe we're just chopping down a tree, so to say, the tree of the resistance of a heart that doesn't really want to surrender to the Lord. And we're chopping on that tree. Well, every time the axe hits, something's happening. Every time that axe strikes the tree, something is happening. And ultimately, that tree will come down. Now, that last blow will be the one that knocks it down, but every blow is equally important. So pray consistently, make it just a daily habit to not just to be in prayer, but to pray for your sister, and in a focused way, not just kind of running out the door, just even if it's for a minute, in a focused way. And then if you feel on your heart, oh, I just need to skip lunch today, or I think I should fast and really ask God to get hold of my sister. And then there are going to be those days where you're just so burdened and you just pray. But there'll be that sense, okay, I've prayed through. That's the way some describe it. It's not exactly a biblical term, but praying through, that you pray until you either have that sense of assurance or that sense of, okay, there's a burden, I've prayed, and that's as far as we can go. And then you go on with life and you don't feel weighed down with it. And I think the book Prevailing Prayer might be something that would encourage you further to really take hold of God. Can we just pray for your sister now? Is that all right?
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right. Lord, we pray for Denise. We ask you to really get hold of her and to show her her sin, her lostness, her alienation from you, just as you showed every one of us before we were saved on some level or another. Show her the meaning of the cross. Show her the power of your love. Bring her to deep conviction of her sin and deep awareness of the depth of your love through Jesus, and gloriously, wonderfully save her. May Denise be able to call this very broadcast with a testimony, just as Andy did before. May she be able to call with a testimony of life transformation. And give Denise the grace to pray and help pray her sister into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for calling and sharing that. And by the way, we'd love to pray for everyone and just have hours of prayer on radio. We're not here to do that. In other words, this is not a public prayer ministry, you know, calling with prayer requests. And so people send us prayer requests all the time, and we have some prayer warriors that really pray over these. But there are times, there are calls where we just feel it's right to stop and pray, as we've done today. Hey, one thing we pray for is that you'd stand with us and support us and help us. So please pray for our work, for this ministry, by God's grace, touching many lives and bearing wonderful fruit. And it's all to the glory of God, all by his grace. Would you pray for us? Share this radio program with others. Maybe your friends have never listened. Share my articles, the articles we write and post through the week. Share them with others. Post them on your Facebook page. Email them to friends. Encourage them to read. And then if you're able, help us financially. Your one-time gift, or those who can become torchbearers, you're the backbone of our ministry. Our torchbearers really undergird us. Thank you for your faithful support. And for everyone who supports us on a monthly basis with $30 or more, every month we send you a brand new message of something I've just preached that'll stir you. We give you a 15% discount always, all the time, in our online bookstore, all of our resources, and free access to online classes I've taught that others would have to pay to take. You get for free, and also send you a thank you book when you sign up. So go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, or call now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, in the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, comes alive moment by moment every day. Such were some of you. In the light of the Planned Parenthood scandal, you know, I've got some serious questions for the church and a whole lot more.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Who said it? We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. Who said it? Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. Quote, we don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. LiveActionNews.org notes in a letter to Dr. Clarence Gamble in December 19, 1939, Sanger exposited her vision for the Negro Project, a freshly lost collaboration between the American Birth Control League and Margaret Sanger's Birth Control Clinical Research Bureau. The letter echoes the eugenic ideology still visible within the corporate vein of Planned Parenthood today. This is Michael Brown. You are listening to The Line of Fire, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We will continue to talk about the barbaric practices of Planned Parenthood. We will continue to talk about how all of this needs to come into the light and how they need to be defunded. There is no reason under the sun, no justification whatsoever as to why Planned Parenthood should be receiving more than $500 million a year from the government. That means from us. Absolutely. But my question that I raised in the last hour, my question is simply this. What's the church been doing all these years? Why have most of us been so silent? Why have most pastors almost never talked about abortion in years and years? Why have we been so slow to help those who are on the front lines, those who are making a difference, pro-life champions who've been laboring for years? What is so little of our giving go to help preserve the life of the unborn and help children that are not aborted, help with adoption and help with parents that are needy that want to raise their kids? Why do so few of us do so little? Something to think about. Do you agree? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm definitely planning on writing this article tonight. We'll see if it happens. Black Lives Matter, Beginning in the Womb. Let's continue to expose the black genocide taking place through Planned Parenthood and other groups with a disproportionate number of abortion clinics in inner cities and in lower income populations, which often have a higher percentage, sadly, of black Americans. Another larger problem that faces our nation that we need to address together as a people. But you're talking about what was initially a systematic planned attack on black America, some of the, quote, human weeds. Margaret Sanger said this, it seems to me from my experience that while the colored Negroes have great respect for white doctors, they can get closer to their own members and more or less lay their cards on the table, which means their ignorance, superstitions, and doubts. We should hire 3 or 4 colored ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities. The most successful educational approach to the Negroes through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. Look, these are known quotes. I quoted them months ago, and I've seen them before, and others have been documenting them for decades. These are known quotes, and yet Planned Parenthood just skips along by, defended by our president who said, thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. What ugly, wrong words. His press secretary is defending them right to this moment. What an abomination. This needs to be addressed. All lives matter. Black lives matter. Beginning in the womb. We'll be right back.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll come back to abortion in a moment. I'm convinced that if God's people across America rose up, even 25% of committed believers in America rose up and said, we want to make a difference here, that we'd see the overnight turning around of abortion on demand in our nation. But last hour, received a call from a listener in Utah, 29 years old, was not living a godly life until 2.5 years ago, surrendered to the Lord. She has a twin sister who's been living as a lesbian, engaged to her partner for some time now, and was sending out, quote, wedding dates. And this listener from Utah had been praying for her, regularly praying for her for hours, and finally spoke with her about why she could not go to the wedding, and spoke to her plainly from her heart about what she believes, and had been greatly helped reading Can You Be Gay and Christian last year. Well, not only did the sister not reject what she was hearing, the twin sister, but she came under conviction herself, broke off the engagement, and surrendered to the Lord. I've heard many wonderful testimonies and calls. We've been doing live radio for 7 straight years. And it was one of the most moving testimonies I've heard. The way it was shared and the reality of it, it's just one of those wonderful God moments. Ginny, listening in New Milford, New Jersey, I just wanted to give context and background. Over to you. Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi there, Dr. Brown. I just want to thank you so much for standing for God's word and his ways and your obvious love for the Lord. It comes across so loud and clear. And I was just so moved by Andy's testimony. It was just the most amazing thing, brought tears to my eyes. We have a couple of homosexual lifestyle folks in our family, and I am constantly praying for them. But the bigger issue here is that I have just recently, I don't know how long, but I've just been having such a desire to see harvest. I hope and pray that just my lifestyle is a testimony and sows seeds in neighbors' lives and families' lives. But I've been so longing to see harvest. And maybe if God can use me in the harvest, that's great. But I don't have to be the one. But I've been so longing to see harvest. You know, souls come to the Lord. I see my brothers and sisters, my adult brothers and sisters growing in the Lord. But that harvest that Andy was talking about, I've been so longing to see that. And what an answer to prayer just to tune in to your program today and hear that story. That was an answer to prayer. God showed me some harvest. It's not anybody in my neighborhood, not anybody in my family, somebody across the country, but that's a harvest that he showed me. And it was such an encouragement. And so I don't even know if Andy could still be listening online or something, but I just want to thank her for sharing that. And I praise God for what he has done in Andy's life and in her sister's life, and just pray that we will see so much more harvest from that. Yeah. But, it was just the most amazing thing.
Yeah, you know, the thing that is amazing is right now as we're speaking, all around the world, people are being born again. Muslims are coming to faith. I just got an email. I haven't been able to read all of it yet, but a friend, a colleague who was just meeting with believers from Iran, secret believers, and unbelievable testimonies. I just started glancing at the email, and it was extraordinary stuff. Even as I speak, people are coming out of every background, lifestyle, coming to faith, and all over America, drug addicts are getting saved now, and atheists are getting saved, and cultural Christians are getting saved. And Ginny, if you keep sowing seed, if you keep reaching out, if you keep living that consistent life, if you keep telling people about Jesus and praying in secret, there is going to be a lot more harvest than you even realize. And you're going to find out years later. Here, I'll tell you a quick story. I was leading a ministry school that we had in New York City for a little while. Our school is still continuing, but our branch in New York City is not open now. And there were two men named Charles that were on staff full-time at the school. One of them was our local director. I was the president of the school, but he was the local director. I had known him as a pastor, as a man of prayer, And the other Charles had been one of our students in our ministry school, and that's how I knew him. And then he graduated tremendously gifted, creatively, musically, one of the most gifted men that I know. So anyway, they meet now in New York City. One Charles, the pastor, the director of the school, had lived there for years. The other Charles had just moved into the area with his family to serve at the school and be oversee the music department and some of the outreach things we were doing. So they meet and they start talking, and we'll call him Charles number one, talking about things. Charles number two starts asking him questions. He said, wait a second, did you used to preach on such and such a street corner in New York City? He said, yeah, I did. Charles number two says to him, Did you hand out little New Testaments, green New Testaments, whatever they were? Yeah. Did you have a coat that was this color? And yeah, I did. Well, it turns out that Charles number one faithfully would stand on the street corner, preach the gospel, and have these little New Testaments he'd hand out to people. And it's New York. You get mocked. I mean, you can do anything on the streets of New York. You just, you know, you can preach, you can dance, you can whatever. But he'd there be preaching. You get mocked. You get people don't want to hear it. Maybe someone takes a Bible. Well, Charles number two was at a real time in his life, a pivotal time because of New York. He had moved there because of the arts and music and all of this, but he was lost. He was a lost sinner. And he took a New Testament from Charles number one and started reading it. And that was the turning point in his life. He got radically, wonderfully born again. And when they realized the connect, they were just hugging each other. They couldn't believe it. But what encouragement for Charles number one, because you never know the fruit. Some of it you don't find out for years and years. So you keep sowing faithfully. Yeah. And you will see a harvest in front of your own eyes. Thank you so much for calling. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's turn back to the abortion subject. Jackie Ray in Stoneville, North Carolina. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate you taking my call. And I'm certainly glad that I'm in the Line of Fire.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate the great message, the messages with the S that you present to us. And I was really listening today about Planned Parenthood, and a lot of it's on the news with this organization, too, that's selling aborted children's body parts or whatever, and this is very, very disturbing. And I would like to remind the listeners out there, and I do this quite a bit because we vote every year in the political races for those politician and those who serve us, and we make sure what their platform is before we vote for them. We certainly vote every year for those who believe that a child is a choice. A child is not a child is a life. A child is not a choice. Excuse me. We really do believe that conception begins in the womb, and certainly they belong to God. Man created them, but they belong to God. We created them in the sense of parents. But you go back to everything, God is the creator. So those children actually belong to him anyway. And the Bible said that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name. And I'd like to tell this lady that just called in what an inspiration that was to listen to her testimony. So people out there listening, remember, if we claim to be Christians, and we are Christians, we should be voting for those people who are going to serve us in the government that believe that children are human beings, and they are a life. They are not a choice. I'd just like to remind people of that, and I appreciate so much you taking my call today.
All right. Thank you, sir, and thank you for Bye-bye. The kind words. Look, friends, I'll say it bluntly. You may not be able to vote at all because you might say, well, candidate number two, I just can't vote for this reason, that reason. The other candidate number one is not pro-life. They're, quote, pro-choice. Yeah, choice. How many choices did they talk about in the abortion clinic? If you had an abortion, did they sit you down and say, okay, let's make sure, let's look at an ultrasound so you can realize what you're dealing with? Do they do that? Do they give you that choice? Do they say, now let's talk about adoption, let's talk about ultrasound? No, because they want you to abort the baby. And they make more money the more abortions. But what, Matt, do we know, just out of curiosity, what the senior executives of Planned Parenthood make? Is that should be public knowledge, right? Should be publicly posted. I'm just curious. It's purely curiosity. If they work from us nothing, it does not make the organization any less barbaric in what it does, and it does not make the organization altruistic. We know about the money-making, the profit-making within it. But if a candidate is not pro-life, I cannot vote for that candidate. And you have to stand somewhere on these issues. You're going to be asked directly on these issues. If there was a president that was going to help us with the economy, as important as that is, as many lives are affected by the economy, I understand that. We're talking about lives being affected. If that candidate is not pro-life, cannot vote for them, period. End of subject. Simple. Black and white to me.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I think it's going to have a long-range effect. It'll probably have the effect in the short run in this election cycle of putting the issue on the table, abortion issue on the table, in a way that Democrats are going to be on the defensive. Do you believe in this? Do you believe that this is okay? But in a sense, it kind of redefines backroom abortion. It used to mean illegal abortions, but now that abortion is legal, we have opened the door on what really happens in the back room.
Yeah, how many Kermit Gosnells are? Of course, that's the voice of Charles Krauthammer. How many Kermit Gosnells are there with their houses of horrors and the horrific late-term abortions? Look, I'm aware that there is this absolutely bizarre culture where the late-term abortionist is considered some type of hero. And look, I've even read about late-term abortion where the baby is then baptized because the parents are religious and they bury the baby, and it's this, you know, it was the right thing to do because the child was handicapped. I'm not saying that these are choices that people make lightly. Some of them do. It's just, discard it, whatever. Do you want to plan on getting pregnant? Just discard it, get rid of it. And a decent percentage of sexually active young women take the day after pill just in case there's anything, making sure they stop it right there. But in plenty of cases, people are agonized, and is this the right thing to do? And we've had people call who had abortions in the past and call their breakdown crying when they're on the phone. Go to my YouTube channel, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and just click on the YouTube icon. And when you're there, click on that YouTube icon, and I think it's all within the last three or four videos we put up, but we put some of the calls, the audio of some of the calls, people who had abortions or participated, the father who decided to participate in aborting the child, you know, for his girlfriend to have an abortion. You know, they're in tears on the phone talking about it years later as believers. But let the horrific practices be exposed. Let the reality be exposed. So Cecile Richards, who is the CEO of Planned Parenthood, according to LifeNews.com, as of a year ago, was making over $500,000 a year. Making over $500,000 a year. Think of that. Yeah, day after pill. I knew I said it wrong. Morning after pill. I knew as I was saying it wrong. Thanks, Matt. 1 in 5 sexually active teenage girls admit to using the morning after pill. You just got to get rid of the consequence just in case. You're aware that with the advent of the birth control pill in 1960, that sexual promiscuity started to go off the charts. That's part of what is at the beginning of the sexual revolution, sex for recreation, not procreation. I'm not making a condemning statement on all birth control. I'm simply saying that the mentality that now disassociates sexual activity from the consequences, namely children, babies, is part of this larger culture of sexual anarchy that we find ourselves in, and part of the larger culture that embraces redefining marriage, homosexual practice. It's the larger culture of sexual anarchy. Let's just see here. Planned Parenthood execs making more than $250,000 a year. LifeSite News, and I guess right here is the list of this one, that one, another one, making over $250,000 a year. Now remember, this is tax funded, tax payable funded, over $500 million given to Planned Parenthood by the American government, which means out of your pocket, my pocket. How can that be? How can we allow that to continue? Let's go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Anthony, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Great, and I'm a first-time listener, so enjoying the show so far. And as we were talking about abortion throughout the show, for whatever reason, the story in the Old Testament came to mind where the Passover takes place, where God, you know, he kills the firstborn of each Egyptian baby and passes over the houses of the Israelites. And I was just thinking, you know, how it's our choice to abort a baby or not abort a baby. And I guess if you could help us understand why God would, I guess, kill the firstborn of the Egyptians in the Old Testament, it sounds like God obviously has the choice to do it or not. I'm pro-life, so I'm very against abortion, but maybe you could help us with the theological side of it as to why God would kill the firstborns of the Egyptians when he is clearly the giver and taker of life.
Yes. Does God murder? Is God a murderer? Does he hold us to a different standard? That's a very good question. And Anthony, thanks for being a first-time listener. So number one, we know Deuteronomy 32:39, God says, I kill and I make alive. I put to death and I make alive. But never in the Bible does it say that God murders. Murder is something different. God can bring judgment, and the judgment will often be that we reap what we sow. So God came to the Egyptians who had been oppressing the Israelites for years, and they were God's people, and it was time to leave. God gave them orders, and the head of the country, the Pharaoh, refused order after order. And God said, if you do not, if you will not let my firstborn son go, then your firstborn son will die. In other words, you're going to reap what you sow. If you're going to keep oppressing my people and keep doing evil, so it's your choice to make. All Pharaoh had to do was let the slaves go. He had no right to keep them. All he had to do was do the right thing. So a human being does not have the power to just meet that out. And yet we would still realize that, you know, the court can offer someone, if you will confess to this and take ownership for this and make restitution, your penalty will be less. If not, your penalty will be more severe. So in this case, Pharaoh makes the choice. God is the judge of all the earth. God is the giver and taker of life. But he doesn't take life indiscriminately. He's not a murderer. And because of the oppression of his firstborn, he said plainly, if you continue to do this, if you continue to oppress my people and will not let my firstborn son go, then your firstborn sons will suffer as a result. But because of Pharaoh's pride and the idolatry of the nation, rather than acknowledge the true God, they followed the hardness of their heart. And because of that, there was judgment. It's often a scriptural principle that we reap what we sow. Those that reap violence sow violence. Those that reap cruelty sow cruelty. And in this case, those that refuse to allow the firstborn son to go free will lose their own firstborn son in horrific judgment. Even in that, though, there's still mercy, because there's the potential of a little child, a baby. Many would believe and teach, I do, that that child could go to be with the Lord because of ignorance, because of lack of accountability, and not having a consciousness of the reality of their actions. Hey, thank you for the call. We got a break coming up. Friends, let me strongly encourage you to visit our website, AskDrBrown.org. You want some books that will encourage you? You want to get four books at less than half price what they normally cost? And every one of them will encourage you. Pass around your family, to your friends, light a fire in your heart. Go to my website now, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on the special resource offer to find out more. You'll be blessed. Trust me on that.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. This is the time for the Church of Jesus to rise up. This is the time for us to stand and do what's right. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment. The harvest, friends, is ripe. 866-34-TRUTH. If you're a pro-abortion person, or you say you want to call yourself pro-choice, because you might say, well, no one's pro-abortion. Well, Planned Parenthood is pro-abortion. Planned Parenthood is pro-abortion. If they never did another abortion, they would be out of business or their budget so greatly reduced that nobody would really know their name anymore. But you say, well, no, I'm not pro-abortion, but I do believe it's an alternative that every woman should have, and it is her body, it is her choice, and you really have no right to tell a woman what to do. Express your viewpoint. But if you say, hey, it's the best for certain, look, you're going to bring more kids into the world, they're going to starve, they're going to die, they're not going to be cared for, they're going to be raised in some drug-infested environment where they're not wanted, and, you know, who needs that? Better that, you know, we have mercy and compassion. Well, I'm just curious if that's your viewpoint, and by all means, call. I'm sure there are listeners who are not pro-life who are listening to me now. Call, share your point of view. But let me just put this out to you, okay? Let me put this out to you. If that logic holds, and look, this question's been asked a million times before, but I'll ask it again. If this logic holds, then why not? Maybe you didn't think it through adequately. You didn't have the abortion, but now the child's a few days old, and you realize, okay, my family's starving as is. That's another mouth we can't feed. There's nobody I know that wants to adopt it. Why not kill the child then? Okay, here's a kid. Here's a gal. She's got four kids already. This is her fifth kid. Three different husbands. There are three different fathers. They're all in jail right now. She's high on drugs. She can't care for that kid. Okay, the kid's a week old. Why not kill the kid then? What's the difference? You're telling me that if that baby was killed in a late-term abortion, in many cases a viable child, that no one can deny the viability of that child, the humanity of that child, it's okay to do it in the womb, but not a little while after outside the womb? Or when that child is just developing and growing and is clearly a human being? Look, there's a penalty. If you destroy an eagle egg, isn't there a penalty for that in America? You know, the egg of a bald eagle, if you destroy that egg, there's a penalty. Well, at a certain point, that's just what's in that egg. I mean, that's certainly not some majestic eagle, but it's a baby eagle. It's a baby eagle. I remember a guy from Greenpeace, was it? That very much left-wing environmental group, they knocked on his door and they were collecting money and they said, help us save the baby whales. And he said, I'm more concerned with helping to save the baby humans. And they were out angry. Isn't that interesting? You want to save the baby whales, but you're mad at us for talking about saving the baby humans? How interesting. How fascinating. Let's see. Clip number four. Do I have time to play clip number four? Let me just look at my clock. I'm a little different location here in Destin, Florida. And my clock. No, I don't. Okay. We'll come to that on the other side of the break. But yeah, I want to give you some stats. I want to give you some stats from New York City on abortion. And let's talk about how this lines up with the Margaret Sanger philosophy of wanting to abort as many black babies as possible. All you who vote for, you call yourself a follower of Jesus, and you vote for candidates who are strong Planned Parenthood pro-abortion candidates like Hillary Clinton now or Barack Obama now. That's shameful. Shameful to vote for them. My opinion.
This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, with a shout out to all of our torchbearers. You, our monthly supporters, are the backbone of this ministry, and you keep the line of fire burning bright. To find out, friends, how you can become a torchbearer, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on Donate.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Listen to this defense of Planned Parenthood as the liberal media is lining up to defend. This is MSNBC's Now show, Dr. Ann Davis of the Physicians for Reproductive Health. Clip number four.
It's a very compassionate gesture. It's a very private moment where people volunteer to do this. And certainly so, my colleagues around the country and I are, you know, the recipients of that sort of, in that moment with people, and it's very genuine. So there are certainly services where people can help women to do that generous thing that they would like to do at that moment.
Yeah, I think, Aaron, underscoring that this is, in fact, an act of generosity and a very difficult decision to make, right, is really important to counteract the narrative that is being presented here, which is incredibly lurid, and that has been thus far very effective for this wing of the anti-abortion movement.
Compassionate. So compassionate. Oh, listen, I'm sure their mothers, they're agonizing. Okay, we're going to have the abortion. Well, you can donate the fetal tissue, and it can go to medical research to save lives. Okay, I'll do that. And they're somehow comforted in that. But we're the ones by exposing what Planned Parenthood's doing and exposing the marketing of baby parts, that we're the ones that are somehow the extremists, or as somebody put, Nazi Republican propaganda. Yeah, someone actually posted on Twitter, Nazi Republican propaganda. And hey, if it's just tissue, if it's just a mass of cells, why is it so hard? If it's a baby, it's hard. Then don't do it. If it's a baby, don't do it. Don't do it. If it's not a baby, if it's just a mass of cells, hey, if I went to the doctor and the doctor told me, hey, you've got this tumor here, this fatty tumor, and it's not cancerous, but it should be removed. Cut it off. No, under the cells. They're my own cells. That's my own fat. That's my own tumor. No. It's deal with it, right? All right, sir, this growth on your hand, it's not just unseemly, but it could be a problem. All right, just cut it off. Let's deal with it. But if it's a child, you don't kill it. And if it's not a child, why grieve over it? 866-34-TRUTH. Someone rebuked me earlier, posting bogus Margaret Sanger quotes without doing research, and though she actually wanted everyone to be educated and deal with poverty. Nonsense. Here's another Margaret Sanger quote. I accepted an invitation to talk to the women's branch of the Ku Klux Klan. 1926, Sanger spoke at a meeting hosted by the Women's Auxiliary of the Ku Klux Klan in Silver Lake, New Jersey. Following the invitation, Sanger describes her elation after receiving multiple speaking requests from white supremacy groups. She writes of the experience on page 366 of her book, An Autobiography. I accepted an invitation to talk to the women's branch of the Ku Klux Klan. I saw through the door dim figures parading with banners and illuminated crosses. I was escorted to the platform, was introduced, and began to speak. In the end, through simple illustrations, I believed I had accomplished my purpose. A dozen invitations to speak to similar groups were proffered. Quote, they are human weeds, reckless breeders, spawning human beings who never should have been born. Margaret Sanger. In Pivot of Civilization, Sanger penned her thoughts regarding immigrants, the poor, and the era of philanthropy. Sanger's ideology of race and social hygiene bleeds through her writings on breeding an ideal human race. Quote, they are human weeds. So the poor, the immigrants, blacks, reckless breeders spawning human beings who never should have been born. Organized charity itself is the symptom of a malignant social disease. Instead of decreasing and aiming to eliminate the stocks of people that are most detrimental to the future of the race and the world, it tends to render them to a menacing degree dominant. So if you have too many of these human weeds, then it's going to, they're going to become dominant. These lower class uneducated masses are going to become dominant. Associated Press called the ripping apart of babies, quote, the disposition of fetal remains. And Joey, play clip number two again. This is a senior Planned Parenthood executive, and she's talking about, well, let's just play the clip.
I want a Lamborghini. I said I want a Lamborghini.
We all, right?
Yeah, I want a Lamborghini. In other words, I want to make more profit. If I can make more money from the sale of these baby parts, then I can get myself a Lamborghini. Oh, she's joking about it. You talk about these callous Planned Parenthood executives. I brought this up on Monday, but please don't tell me that it's Monday or Tuesday that they are sitting around crying behind the scenes. We're so sad that these babies are being aborted. We feel terrible, but we know it's a necessary service. Oh, we're so sorry that these executives seem so cold about it. Yeah, you got to turn the baby this way. To, you know, if you want to get, sir, okay, we need this. We need a liver. Oh, we need a complete limb. Okay, we'll do the abortion differently in order to extract that. Why? Because we got a market for it. It's obscene. 866-34-TRUTH. Newsbusters.org. Liberal media defend Planned Parenthood. Censor the word baby. You may have heard about the Planned Parenthood executive stressing special ways to abort babies without crushing them so that their organs and limbs can be harvested for researchers. The liberal media certainly have, but instead of condemning the shocking practice, they're racing to defend it. Wow, wow, wow. Baby parts are fetal organs. The selling of those parts was assuredly donating. Washington Post has a headline, undercover videos show Planned Parenthood official discussing fetal organs used for research. Planned Parenthood deserves to be supported, not attacked. The video shows nothing more than another one of those graphic abortion protest posters. Totally out of context. Totally horrible. How is an abortion when you show a picture of an aborted baby? How is that out of context? What's the proper context that justifies that? 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Brian in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, I'm pro-life. Ending abortion is brutal.
Yes, sir.
Especially third term. But let's say we got everything we wanted. The law protected these babies. What would we do then with people getting abortions done, you know, in back alleys or however it was done before? And then how would we take care of all these children? Should we all chip in and pay? I'm not sure how we would take care of all that.
Yes, sir. Very valid questions. First, if someone's determined to have an abortion, they can have an abortion. It's not the government's job or our job to allow them to do it safely. It's terrible if a woman has an abortion by some means that could actually hurt her or kill her. And not only does the baby die, but she dies. Yes, absolutely. That's even more tragic. But if someone's dead set on having an abortion, it's not our job to help them and to say, okay, well, here's a facility where you can do it safely instead of, you know, using some coat hanger to perform an abortion on yourself or some, you know, back alley pseudo doctor. So that's number one. It's tragic, but people are going to do it. And if abortion is taking an innocent life, you know, it's not up to someone to say, hey, you know, stabbing that person, that's too painful a way to kill them. I'm going to give you a gun so you can shoot them more quickly. No, that's not anybody's role to do that. But the second question is one that has a more practical implication. And
It's namely this, that we must have a culture of life. And thankfully, many churches across America are really advocating adoption, saying, look, we know many people want to adopt and they're unable to, but we want to join in. And you know, because sometimes there's just red tape and many hoops to jump through. But we want to have a culture of life. For example, Charlotte, North Carolina, I live right near there now. There is a network of ministries that works together, from people who are out in front of abortion clinics, sharing the gospel, handing out tracts, to pregnancy crisis centers, to others. They all work together. And when the babies are actually born, they have donated money together for baby showers to help with the early years, to get that family on its feet. Or if they're not able to provide adoptive outlets. So if we work together, yeah, there should be, every church should have some kind of budget that goes towards pro-life, and then we can help with adoption, with meeting these needs, absolutely.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So somebody on Facebook just challenged the Margaret Sanger quote from 1939, saying, well, it's 1939, don't you even think for a moment, you know, her saying about, you know, wanting to eliminate black babies and, you know, haven't things changed since then? Well, how about this article, Michael Chapman, February 20th, 2014, CNSnews.com. New York City, more black babies killed by abortion than born. In 2012, there were more black babies killed by abortion, 31,328 in New York City, than were born there, 24,758. And the black children killed comprised 42% of the total number of abortions in the Big Apple. Whereas the black population of New York City is much less than 42%, yet 42% of the abortions, so that there are more black babies aborted than born in New York. How about the Margaret Sanger philosophy working itself out right until today? Yeah, I absolutely want to address the issue of Black Lives Matter beginning in the womb. Dallas, Texas, Tali, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is in regards to what is happening with the baby body parts that are being sold. Is it going to research? I know it's such a horrific thing to even think about, and maybe you've already addressed it. But
I mean, unless there's some other black market that we don't know about. I had read 15 years ago about the baby parts being used for perfume and things like that, and you know, Congress was investigating it. So God knows the details. But officially, what's agreed on is that they're being bought by places like STEM Express. I wrote an article on Town Hall about that a couple days ago. Buy a baby's liver for just $24,000. And again, it's clearly not a matter of just covering shipping costs, because Planned Parenthood's negotiating prices and wanting to make profit from it. Individuals, how much can they make from it? But yes, the quote legitimate use is that a woman says, okay, I'm going to have an abortion, but I want to donate, of course, they're not going to call it baby parts, fetal tissue for medical research. And then, you know, she signs on the dotted line to do that. And then technically they donate it, and they're claiming, well, no, all we're getting is shipping costs. Right, completely bogus. So Planned Parenthood making a profit, according to these reports, from the marketing, the sale of baby parts to these various researchers that are allowed to use them. And then, of course, the researchers are turning around and selling them. So there's plenty of profit that's being made. Now, are there other black market usages that we don't know about that would even be more mind-boggling? Could be. But again, that's for others to uncover. What we do know is being sold for, quote, legitimate medical research as opposed to underground. Tragic in either case. Thank you for asking. 866-34-TRUTH, Fort Worth, Texas. Salome, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to comment about the subject that you're speaking about today.
Please.
And the fact of the matter is, no matter how you turn and twist it, every man and woman created in the image of God has free will. So, and a woman's body is her body. Therefore, any decision that she makes about her body is something that is between her and the Lord. So just as Christ forgives any sin and every sin when you go to Christ and ask him for forgiveness, it's the same case with that concern. No sin is greater or less than any other sin.
So let me ask you a question, Salami. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Okay? All right? Thank you. All sins are the same. So if I gave you a dirty look, that's no different than if I raped you and killed you. That's no different.
I'm sorry for all of our sins.
I understand that, but you're telling me. Now, Jesus himself said there are worse sins than others. Jesus said it himself. So you've completely contradicted Jesus' words.
But literally, though, Christ died for all of our sins.
Yes, he did. And Salome, you're telling me that if I gave you a dirty look, it is no different than if I raped you and killed you. It's no different. It's all the same.
Sin is a sin.
So you're telling me it's no different whatsoever. That if I wasn't nice to you one day, that's no different than ISIS beheading someone. They're all the same. You actually believe that?
I'm not talking about ISIS. What I am saying.
Do you actually believe that, Salami? I'm trying to have a civil conversation with you. Do you actually believe what you're saying? That's no different. That if I gave you a dirty look, it's no different. Than a man coming, breaking into your house and killing your children, that it's all the same? You don't believe that?
That's not what I said, and that's not the level I was speaking on.
Oh, no. You're killing a baby in the womb. You're talking about someone killing a baby, a life that God created, a life that God breathed.
I'm speaking about free will, and I'm talking about that decision day and
you. Yes, Jesus did. Salami, Jesus died for that sin.
So nobody has any right to.
Salami, we say it constantly. That Jesus died for every sin. We offer forgiveness. When I write an article about it, I tell people Jesus died for that sin. Can I ask how old you are, Salami?
I'm 32.
Yeah, okay. You don't believe what you're saying. You don't believe that all sins
are the same.
You don't believe that all sins are the same. If you're a kid, do you have kids?
All sins have the same ultimatum with its.
No. All sins are not the same, and all sins do not have the same effect. Jesus died for all sins. There's forgiveness for all sins.
So there is forgiveness.
There's
for
forgiveness,
all sins.
Absolutely. But don't downplay the ugliness of it. Don't downplay
therefore,
the ugliness. Listen, folks have called. Folks have called the show. Folks have called the show this week. They've called the show this week in tears because years ago they had abortions. A man fathered a child and aborted the baby. A woman was raped and then was forced to have an abortion. They called the show. These things happened to them years ago, and they called in tears, because it hurt so bad that they snuffed out a life. If you could recognize the magnitude, maybe you had an abortion. God can forgive that, but don't minimize it. Don't say it's no different. It's absolutely no different than any other sin. No, sin does have different consequences. Jesus spoke of people committing a greater sin. Please don't minimize it. And yeah, we have free will. That means you could do something terrible. I could do something terrible. I could rob a bank. Doesn't mean it's right. Women can choose to abort a baby. Doesn't mean it's right. So please, we agree that Jesus died for all sins and that there's forgiveness for the sin of abortion. But the way that you receive forgiveness rightly is by recognizing the gravity of it. Oh, I murdered someone. Sorry about that. No. There's the recognition of guilt. That's when true forgiveness comes. So please think these things through. Don't just press the emotional hot buttons, okay? I'm sure you care. But please think these things through. Hey, I would talk more, but we're out of time. Friends, please visit the website. Check out my latest articles. Check out the latest YouTube videos, and be sure to listen to all of today's broadcast if you missed any of it by clicking on latest broadcast. My bottom line today, God is a God of life, a God of reproduction. Let us work with him, not against him.